for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is that?
It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
All right, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Total request Thursday. We've been kind of pounding on the Orioles a little bit, lamenting the end of their season. Let's get to the other birds, the Ravens. They go to Cincinnati coming up Sunday afternoon, 2.5-point favorites. John Harbaugh met with the media yesterday, and one of their key defensive contributors was back at practice, Arthur Millette.
Well, he's a great leader. I mean, Arthur is one of those guys that, you know, you just feel his energy. Even when he's not playing on the sideline, he was into it. I mean, he was flying around. He knew all the calls. He was coaching guys up. And he was looking forward to coming back and to see him back. It's a little bit of a process. You know, you've been down for 4 or 5 weeks. He's going to have to kind of ramp his way back in. We'll see day to day here how he does with that. But it's great to have him out there.
Yeah, and Millette was playing really well. You know, the last part of last year and the beginning of this year, his blitzing, and he was making plays. He made a lot of interceptions and stuff. So he was a playmaker. How will they incorporate him back? Yeah, it'll take him some time to get back into the swing of things. How will they incorporate him? Because this past week, you know, in a lot of this stuff, Humphrey was on the inside a lot. And then Hamilton was too, you know, doing the blitzing and things. But he had kind of a nice knack coming off the edge on the blitz and stuff. You know, it's really smart guy.
Good news for Kyle Van Noy, as he was named today as the AFC Defensive Player of the Month. 6 sacks, 7 tackles for loss, 9 quarterback hits, and a forced fumble. And look, he hasn't reached the 9 sacks yet.
Oh, it's coming.
But we talked, I said it, you said it, Nolan, you were saying it, everybody was saying it. Basically, there's no way he's duplicating what he did last year. He might have 9 sacks by Halloween.
Yeah. And Bob, the thing about it is when you watch him and watch the film and watch the games, he just looks so much more fluid, so much more athletic, in better shape. I mean, because he came off the couch, what, week 5? So he probably
somewhere around there.
Yeah, so he probably didn't get into shape till about week 11. But he looks really good, and he's smart. And, Bob, he's going against Mims, the rookie. I mean, he'll be showing it. Mims is going to see some stuff he's never seen before. That's how he's getting sacked. And you know, and they're stunting and doing things. But he's beating a lot of people one-on-one.
And he got hurt in the Kansas City game, the bone injury around the eye. I'm not going to try to say orbitable.
Hey, that was good.
Yeah, I think it was still wrong. But figured he'd be done for a couple of weeks. Not only did he not miss any time, he's been playing at a All-Pro Player of the Month level. So congratulations to Kyle Van Noy on that one. Now, Keaton Mitchell. The Ravens are running the ball really, really well. Derrick Henry leads the NFL in rushing yards. What, does he have 350 in the last 2 games? Justice Hill off to the best start of his career. But Keaton Mitchell working himself back into the equation. Right, John Harbaugh?
Right. It's impossible to put a timetable on exactly right now. I think I would say this. He is right on schedule. The schedule was to be back, you know, this season. Exactly when that would be, we're probably closer to understanding that now, just because it's, you know, we're closer toward the end of that. But you couldn't really pin it down yet. He's not close enough yet to really talk about it. But he's doing really well.
Maybe I'd just be guessing. I'm guessing, Bob, if they could get him December 1st. I think, you know, in 2 more months, you know, I think that'd be great. Or if somebody got hurt and he was ready a little bit earlier. But, you know, people say, well, what would he do? Because all these other guys are playing so well. That is a dude that has rare speed that you can find packages for him. He changes your offense. He gives you another dimension that they don't have.
When he got hurt last year, and look, you don't want to see anyone get injured. But when he got hurt on that night against, what was it, Jacksonville, I believe, it almost pained me.
Yes.
As an undrafted free agent, and he was really blossoming into the guy. He's averaged 8 yards a carry. And then he went down, and it was just like, ah, oh, this sucks, man.
I'll bet you Munkin said the same thing, Bob.
Yeah.
You know, because they were starting to use him a lot. And, Bob, you know what I could see happening if he comes back, kick returns possibly? You know, you don't need Hardy then. I mean, kind of what we're finding out about that kickoff return stuff, people just put it in the end zone. You know, I mean, let's just go back to the way it was so it doesn't look so goofy.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, news from the Nest here on this Total Request Thursday. Travis Jones, as we get to the defense again, he's been playing some really strong football. John Harbaugh was asked about what has been standing out for the third-year UConn Husky.
Well, it really is kind of what you just said. Travis has been doing it in practice. You know, we've seen it in practice. We've talked about it in this group right here about how well he's been practicing and when he played in games last year. It might be the fact that he's a little more mature in terms of his physical, you know, body, but technique-wise. But it might be just the fact he's getting more reps, you know, and he's having a chance to showcase his skills even that much more. So he's becoming a dominant defensive tackle, no doubt.
No doubt about it. I mean, this last game, Bob, we talked about it yesterday, the film, and he was phenomenal. And his body is tightened up, and he looks better that way. He's always had quickness off the ball. I said he was kind of like Matabike that way, and then when's it going to click on? It's starting to click on because he could have easily had a couple sacks last game. He was in the backfield like five different times chasing Josh Allen around. But he had a club move on one where he just threw like a Reggie White club where he just threw the guard. He's really coming, and he is dominant, and he's playing the run exceptionally well too, because he's fundamentally really good, and he can find the football.
And finally, John Harbaugh said Cincinnati's looming coming up Sunday. Ravens 2.5-point favorites in this ballgame. Joe Burrow's quarterback rating's over 105, 7 touchdowns, only 1 pick. So, Joe Burrow, what are you thinking there, Harbsy?
Yeah, really, we've seen the same thing that we've always seen from him. He's playing very well, plays the game in a very unique way, very precise way in terms of his reads, his accuracy, his timing. He's strong in the pocket, all those things that he's leading that team, leading that offense like he always does.
Yeah, I mean, Bob, he's completing 71% of his passes, you know, so... And averaging 7.3, and like you said, he's had one interception and 7 touchdowns. He's only been sacked 8 times because he gets rid of the ball. And he's got chases, you know, coming around now. He had a big game last week. Higgins is still not great shape yet. And then the other kid, Andre Ayazabas.
Yeah. AI.
Yes, AI. He's kind of a nice addition to that group too, and Gesicki, he's a good receiver for them. So I mean, offensively, you know, they're good. The problem has been their defense. That's been the big problem.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, count some late week money, hopefully by yourself. Brian Wacker, talk Ravens Bengals with him from the Baltimore Sun at 12:30. Then the film breakdown of Cincinnati begins with Vinny. Look at it. They're 1-3, so they've had some problems. They're coming off their first win, however, so where their strengths and weaknesses, stay tuned for that. Then we'll have our playoff report baseball style at 1:15. Real quick, Mike Elias meeting with the media. Brandon Hyde will be back, so, you know, it's not happening. Stop calling for it. Not a reality. He expects Batista, Mateo, and Grayson to be more or less full go. Start of spring training. And Mike Elias said, and this one's probably to keep an eye on, pretty confident, air quotes, payroll will increase, but we'll be smart about it, whatever that means.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. Plenty of sports subjects to get into, of course. Right now, let's count some dough. By yourself.
Well, the Dow is down 103. The S&P's down 0.65. NASDAQ's up 22. DraftKings up 11 cents. Under Armour is up 3 cents.
All right, let's get things started here in the NFL. Bill Belichick, he seems to be enjoying his new role as a TV analyst. Just a few weeks ago during, I believe it was the Manning cast, Monday Night Football, took some shots at Atlanta, pointing out their tampering penalties that they picked up here in free agency this offseason. Sort of a subtle dig by him. Now he's got some thoughts on his former team's offense, an appearance on the Pat McAfee show, in reference to Drake May still sitting behind Jacoby Brissett. Belichick said, quote, "I'll be honest with you, I have no idea what the plan is. If Mayo says he's got a plan, then I guess he's got one, and we'll have to wait and see what it is." Goes on to say there's some scoring issues, and Joey Sly was a great addition for them, referencing all the field goals they're kicking instead of scoring touchdowns. Another subtle dig by Belichick. But Vinny, buy or sell, Belichick can joke all he wants. The results would not be any different if he was still wearing the headset.
Well, I'll buy that. He created this mess. These are all his players. But he's taken two digs at, well, New England, which fired him, and then Atlanta that didn't hire him.
Right.
So he's getting his digs in.
Over to the NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks looking to regroup after an early playoff exit last year that featured plenty of injury issues. One of them was Chris Middleton, who just underwent multiple ankle surgeries this offseason. He suffered a left ankle sprain. That was around February, so still some time left in the season. Then the right ankle got sprained in that series with Indiana, although he did continue to play. Between the last 2 years, he's missed quite a bit of time, combining for just over 80 games between two seasons. Now, it's easy to say that the Bucks, they'll go as Giannis goes, but it takes a full team effort here. Buy or sell, Bob, a healthy Middleton will be the difference for Milwaukee this year.
Soft buy. I think Lillard and Antetokounmpo maybe having more of a chemistry is going to be bigger for them. But Middleton, he's got to play for Mark Turgeon at Texas A&M. So he's been around for a while. I don't know if he still has that level of performance in him. If he's healthy, obviously, playing like he did 2-3 years ago, he'll be a key piece. Matter of fact, I'm selling. I think it's got to be about Lillard, and it's got to be about the Freak. How about them? How they have fallen. They're not even on the Christmas Day slate. Got two Hall of Famers, and they still can't get a sniff on Christmas. Anyway, the Ravens are playing, so are we watching? I mean, we'll be working.
Well, the Dolphins, they've played two games now without their quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa. The results have been ugly, to say the least. Skylar Thompson got his chance against the Seahawks a few weeks ago. They only scored 3 points in that one. Then Tyler Huntley, he got his chance this past Monday. The offense only mustered 12 points. Now Mike McDaniel says they're searching for answers and, quote, "everything is on the table." Buy or sell, Vinny, Miami should be working the phones for a quarterback trade.
I'm going to sell it because I think Tua's coming back, and he'll probably be back, you know, whenever his IR stint is up. So, no. But if you're Tua, you probably... I told you guys that I deserve that money.
Well, you know, we'll see how long he's out.
He's more like Hawk Tua right now.
All right.
You know, we went a while
without that. I had to work that out. Okay. My bad. Now she's got talk to her.
All right. We don't have to promote. She's not with Odyssey.
Oh, she's not?
Last I checked.
I just wanted to saw her walking down the hall.
That's not an Odyssey exclusive. Right. Yeah, she's doing a weekly with us now. Yeah. Anyway, let's see.
You never have enough of that.
The new wild card format. It seemed to give non-division winning teams a better chance of building momentum for a deep playoff run. But there's also been a trend of wild card teams reaching the championship series, going back to the previous format as well. From 2019 to last year, at least one wild card team has been represented in the ALCS or NLCS. And last year, our World Series was two wild card teams. Moving on to this year, Detroit, Kansas City, San Diego, possibly the Mets as well, depending on what happens tonight. Buy or sell, Bob, we will see a wild card team in the championship series again.
Oh, I'm buying it 100%. I think the Yankees are going to work Kansas City, but I think Detroit beats Cleveland.
Yeah.
So there you go. And San Diego, they are we sitting here stunned a week from now if they beat the Dodgers? Absolutely not. And I could see either Milwaukee or the Mets beating Philadelphia. So, no. Buying it. I'm all in. Hell yeah.
Well, before we break here, get to Brian Wacker. Our Metallica ticket giveaways are continuing.
What?
Right now, I got another pair to give away. If you are caller number 5 at 410-583-1057, two tickets to see Metallica, coming to Northwest Stadium. That's in D.C. in May, next May, May 28th. Tickets on sale now, but you could win a pair. Give us a call.
How about that? Metallica. Name one other song than Enter Sandman.
For Whom the Bell Tolls.
There you go.
That's
Vinny,
probably the second
name another
popular
song besides those two.
No, I don't have a clue.
Short of Straw. It's a song. Yeah. Short of Straw. Die with Your Boots On. Oh, that's Iron Maiden. Got my metal bands confused there. But at least it's easy to get in and out of Northwest Stadium.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. If you got an extra 3 hours.
That's Vinny at 80-105-7 The Fan. Ravens talk Brian Wacker, Baltimore Sun next. Going to Cincinnati Sunday at 1 as favorites against the Bengals. Here to break that down, talk about everything else happening at One Winning Drive from the Baltimore Sun. Let's welcome back to the show Brian Wacker. Brian, good afternoon. What is happening?
And talk about a team that actually has some offense.
Oh, he goes there, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, speaking of the offense, and you know how fans tend to nitpick from time to time. Lamar Jackson's thrown the ball 33 times last two games combined. He's completed the vast majority of said passes, the quarterback rating well over 130 in each game. And, you know, and we look at the lack of targets for this guy, lack of targets for that guy. We talk about identities. Have we seen the identity kind of present itself last 2 weeks, both wins?
I think so. I mean, John Harbaugh certainly seems to think so. He's mentioned it, you know, of course, after that Dallas win, Derrick Henry, 150-plus yards. Derrick Henry again last week, 199 yards. Look, it might not be, you know, high-flying football, or it might be kind of a step back from, of course, the first year Todd Monken's offense, when this offense, you know, we heard about less running, more passing, career highs in passing yards and completion percentage for Lamar. You know, but this is really their brand of football, especially when they've got a guy like Derrick Henry. No offense to previous backs, Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins. Henry is just another level. And so when you can put him alongside Lamar Jackson, sprinkle in a little bit of Justice Hill, who's really proven to be quite an adept, obviously, receiver out of the backfield, pass protector, et cetera, and, you know, keep the passing to, you know, maybe 20 times a game, you know, this is the result. The offensive line is proven that it can run block, you know, probably more so than pass blocking. And, you know, you go back to that Buffalo game, Lamar was in total control, getting the ball out quickly. We're seeing a high rate of success on screen passes, and we're just seeing good decisions, I think, from this offense and execution, because let's face it, at the end of the day, this is a team that has a long history running the ball well, and that's their bread and butter, and that's what they seem to be sticking to.
Brian, I would say that I thought Todd Monken and Zach Orr had their best games, calling games, you know, this season. I thought both were good. I thought both were creative. I thought Zach Orr, you know, there was less communication issues. Guys played fast, and they looked like they were fast. And then offensively, I think Todd had Buffalo off balance all day.
Absolutely. I would wholeheartedly agree with that assessment, Vinny. I think when you, starting with Zach Orr, you look at the one major difference between him and Mike McDonald last year, they're deploying a lot more dime defense. And why not? I mean, they have the defensive backfield to do that, and that seems to be the way forward for this defense, is to get those extra guys up. That also allows a guy like Kyle Hamilton to play up in the box when needed. So I brilliantly called game, you know, and of course, a lot of that goes to the players too. Guys like Travis Jones been wreaking havoc. He was all over Josh Allen in that game last week. Kyle Van Noy just named defensive player of the month. He's got a half dozen sacks. So guys are, you know, kind of stepping up. And then offensively with Todd Monken, again, yeah, I go back to him dialing it back a little bit, actually getting creative with that running game. In relying on some old staples, things like the Wham, and relying on guys like Derrick Henry, and maybe, you know, not asking Lamar to throw the ball 30 or 40 times. And, you look at Lamar's numbers, I think that Kansas City game, I think he threw the ball 40-something times. That's a little bit of an outlier in that, you know, you have to remember they trailed most of that game, Kansas City led from the second quarter on and twice in the second half. The Ravens trailed by 10, so they had to throw the ball. But I think this is a team that has figured out their offensive identity in terms of working Derrick Henry in, what works well for him, what works well for this offense. And, you know, we haven't seen guys like Mark Andrews go, you know, he goes two straight games without a catch. We haven't seen Isaiah Likely really come close to that output that he had in week one against Kansas City. But again, they've won their last two, so it's hard to argue with the way the direction of the offense is going. And I think they were creative against Buffalo, as you said, and they seem to have figured out the way forward here.
I think you made a good point a little bit earlier when Bob asked you, Brian, because I think they're doing what they have to do to be successful, because the O-line could not hold up in pass drops. They couldn't hold up. I mean, Falele is not good at that. Rosengarten wouldn't be playing, you know, starting if he had to do that. So they had a lot of issues in the O-line. I mean, that's all we talked about was, you know, how bad and how Lamar was running around. And then all of a sudden, the last two times, their last two games, it's totally changed because, like you said, they are, you know, much better run blocker. And Falele is like a different guy. I don't know if he got in shape or what, but he's not on the ground anymore, you know, and he's down blocking. And actually, this last game, he had a nice pull, you know, so I mean, that was good. Who's going to start at left guard, Brian?
You know, great question. I think, look, they went into last week's game against the Buffalo Bills, had a plan in mind, I think, you know, to kind of go a different direction, and they end up, you know, sticking with what worked. So, I would not be surprised Patrick McCary, if he stays in there and Roger Rosengarten stays at right tackle, and they see how that goes and see how it continues to go. Because, again, that was their game plan last week, and they had a plan to make a change if need be. Whether that meant Ben Cleveland or somebody else doesn't really matter. It clearly worked. They stuck with it. Now, I think there's fair questions about, is McCary a guy who can hold up inside given his injury history and so forth? But that's a problem maybe for another day at this point. You know, I would not be stunned to see McCary again at left guard and Rosengarten at right tackle. He's proven to be adept at that position. And, you know, Voorhees, I think, in their early season struggles, he was, frankly, a guy who was one of those guys who struggled a little bit.
No doubt.
You know, I know Falele took most of the heat, but, you know, he wasn't alone in that. So, and you're right, Falele looks like a different guy. This is a group that seems to handle run blocking much better. And to your point, it's a great point. When they're pass blocking early on in the season, you know, and Lamar is maybe a little reticent to run initially right away. He's standing back there, That's just a recipe for not success, not having success. So to me, they seem to be on the right track with the way they're going about this.
Now, I think the pass rush, you know, I mean, we got the player of the month with Van Noy, and he looks great. And then always doing all right. You know, I'm kind of impressed with him. But Ajabo's got to pick it up a little bit. Adis Isaac was awful. He's not ready yet. You know, he's slow off the ball. I think he's thinking too much. When is Ngakoue coming? Because I could see him giving a little boost when he's ready.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he's one of their elevations here soon, be it this week or next. Certainly a guy who just got here. Your point about the other guys, I would agree. He's looked pretty good so far. Ajabo has, you know, he's had some moments.
Right.
But there hasn't been that consistency. Van Noy's been Van Noy. You know, and then you look at that interior.
Oh, Travis Jones has been kicking ass.
Yeah, Travis Jones has been great. Matabike has been pretty good, but not, you know, not for a guy for what they're paying him. To be quite as disruptive as we saw him last year. But, you know, you have to think that'll come. So, you know, that was a major question for this team coming into this season, was the pass rush. And early on, it was a struggle again, you know. But it seems to be finding, again, it seems to be finding its footing because of guys like, you know, Owe and Van Noy. And you throw a guy like Ngakoue potentially in there, who can maybe, you know, give you a little bit extra pressure as well.
Brian Wacker covers the Ravens and the NFL for the Baltimore Sun. Last thing, Brian, Ravens 2.5-point favorites. Is that an appropriate point spread heading into Sunday's matchup there?
Cincinnati, look, for as much trouble is the Ravens' defense seems to always give Joe Burrow. The Bengals certainly give the Ravens fits every year, it seems like. And you look at this year's team, they've got Zach Moss. He's a guy who was on the Colts last year. Of course, that Week 3 win here in Baltimore, he played a major role in that, tore them apart, running the ball with a lot of really tough runs. Look, Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, Moss, Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, they've got plenty of weapons. I know they've struggled, and this is a team defensively that the Ravens should be able to score some points on. But, you know, in Cincinnati, division game, this one's going to be tight. I would expect it to come down to, you know, a field goal or touchdown.
Brian Wacker, Baltimore Sun. Brian, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your Total Request Thursday, and we'll talk to you soon.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Brian Wacker, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, look a little closely, more closely at the Bengals film study-wise as Vinny breaks down their win against Carolina and how they might pose problems for the Ravens here on Sunday at 1 o'clock. We'll have more film study in the 1 o'clock hour. We got the Major League Baseball playoff report at 1:15. A former Oriole had a big hit and his team advancing to the next round. And then Mike Harmon will talk real and fantasy football with him as we have a game tonight. Where's all this Bijan Robinson fantasy stuff? Talk about that with Mike Harmon at 1:30.
Breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup.
Who's your connection?
You sound like a cop to me.
Who's your connection?
Enter Vinny's film room on 105.7 The Fan.
As we just talked about with Brian Wacker, the Baltimore Sun, Ravens going to Cincinnati. 1 o'clock kickoff there. Baltimore game day uncensored, 10 o'clock. Rice Mirtha Prasoris, me, Ken Wyman, started off here from the Fan Studios, then Tim Barbalace, Vinny Serrato, Mike Preston, Cordell Woodland, and the rest getting you ready for that game. Ravens 2.5-point favorites, but the Bengals are coming off their first win of the season. Let's break then their defense first, film study.
Yeah, let's take a look at their defense, and their defense is the biggest weakness on their team right now. I mean, because, yeah, they've struggled mightily defensively, and to me, let's look at their pass rush. They're one of the worst teams sacking the quarterback. Now, Trey Hendrickson, he's got 3. And he still rushes. He's still a threat to rush and do all those things. He's on the injury report. You know, and they had talked earlier, is he going to play? He's limited right now. So on a Wednesday, if you're limited, he probably went through stretch or whatever. So we'll see if he's going to play. If he doesn't play, they really have kind of a tough time getting to the quarterback. Now, Joseph Osea, number 58, he's got some hands, you know, so he's got a little pass rush ability. He doesn't have great speed, but he's got some nice hands that he can work with. Now, their defensive tackles are not good, you know, and they've had some injuries there and stuff. Lawrence Guy plays for them, Bob.
I remember him.
Yeah, he looks old when he's in there, but their D-line, they play high. You know, they get high and they get knocked back. And that's going to be a big plus for the Ravens. And that's why in this game, having a Patrick McCary in there, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think he'll be fine in there. And even for, like, Lindenbaum, there's not, like, the big hammer in there, which he struggles with like he did some last week, where he'll be able to they'll be able to get movement. You know, and Sam Hubbard is the other defensive end. Now, the inside backers, I really like Logan Wilson. I think is a good football player. He's 55 for them. He's around the ball. He makes plays, and they attack him a lot. He'll shoot gaps a lot. And then Jermaine Pratt, the other linebacker, he's okay, not as good. Both against the pass. Wilson's better than Pratt against the pass. Now, their secondary, Bob, Cam Taylor-Britt was awful. Awful. Number 29. I'd go at him. Carolina went after him, and they owned him. They scored 2 touchdowns on him, and he missed tackles. He's a liability to them. And, you know, whoever's playing wide receiver, Lamar. You can go after him, and the other corner's Dax Hill, who's a safety. They like to put him on the inside some because he's much more comfortable in there, but he's not a natural corner. Now, the safeties, Von Bell, I'm not impressed with him either. I don't think he's a great tackle. They didn't tackle well at all against Carolina. And Carolina rushed for a lot of yards against them. And then Geno Stone looks like he doesn't run that well. And he hadn't made any plays yet for them. So I'm guessing that he's been somewhat of a disappointment. So overall, defensively, Bob, there's places that you can really take advantage of them. They don't get a lot of pressure on a quarterback, which Lamar's going to be able to get some shots on 29. And I think the guy to do it might be Bateman, because Bateman's a real good route runner, and he can, you know, maybe create some separation there. The tight ends probably got a chance to make some plays in there because the linebackers are okay and the safeties don't run that well. So I'm thinking the middle of the field, kind of like Buffalo last week, I think they'll have some ability to do that there. If you want to double Hendrickson, Rosengarten, probably chip and, you know, do those types of things. But otherwise, I don't think anybody else needs a chip. So they should score points and they should move the ball, Bob. And if Cincinnati's offense turns it over, that'll be a huge plus for the Ravens. Because if they can do that, then, you know, your points. Their defense gives up 26 points a game. And if the Ravens, and I can see the Ravens scoring 30 or more points here, it's like whose offense can control the clock, because both offenses are very good.
Now, given the fact that they're weak in multiple areas, and you'll do keys tomorrow.
Yeah.
If you're Monken, how are you attacking them early? You're going to set the tone with the running game, or you're going to try to throw like an early haymaker and, you know, get them on their heels right out of the gate?
Here. If I do a haymaker, Bob, I'm running play action pass. You know, because what are they expecting? We got to stop the hammer, you know, and we're not great. We give up almost 150 yards rushing a game, and Carolina, you know, Hubbard rushed for over 100 yards. You know, play action pass, if I'm taking a shot, then I'm guaranteed protection and stuff too. So, but I thought Monken started the game great, Bob. I mean, they went 87 yards on the first play off tackle. Then the next one, they're hitting Dax Hill out to the left, you know, with movement. I think they're doing a lot more movement and stuff offensively, the Ravens. And I think that may confuse some. And maybe Geno Stone can help them out, you know, a little bit back there with what the Ravens may and may not do. But I think the Ravens have a huge advantage with their offensive personnel. And with Monken, I go in with both loaded. And whichever one is working, you know, this may be a game where Derrick Henry only carries it 15 times and they throw it a little bit more because he's got time to throw it. And he's been throwing the ball well if he has time.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back NFL Lunch, talk about that Cincinnati offense on tape, because Joe Burrow, his numbers look really good. Is he still the Joe Burrow that led them to championship games and Super Bowls? Mike Elias met with the media hour or so ago. Did confirm Brandon Hyde's coming back. So don't call in saying they should fire Brandon Hyde. They're not. He's sticking around. Elias said it, he's pretty competent. Payroll will increase, but will be smart, whatever the hell that means.
Yeah.
Does it increase by $10 or $110 million? We don't know, but they'll be smart about it. Elias said that Felix Bautista, Jorge Mateo, Grayson Rodriguez will be ready to roll. For the most part, spring training coming up in February, and said Kobe Mayo will less likely play the outfield than third or first base. I think what they decide to do with Ryan Mountcastle and Ryan O'Hearn in the offseason will have a lot to do with where Kobe Mayo is going to be playing. Because next year, I would assume Westberg or Arias are going to be a third baseman.
No doubt.
And Jackson Holliday is going to have to fit in there somewhere. So I'm guessing maybe Kobe Mayo is first base or your right-handed DH. I don't know.
And I think, Bob, by saying smart, you know, like if you're going to get your guy, if you're going to get Corbin Burnes, you know, and you're paying him whatever amount of money, to me that's a smart move.
Yeah, I saw $250.
Yeah, probably.
$250. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back at NFL Lunch. We're going to get your playoff report, Major League Baseball style. There's still a game going on tonight as we have the Mets and the Brewers. Loser goes home. Winner goes to the next round. Phillies await the winner of that one. Then we'll talk real and fantasy football with Mike Harmon from Fox Sports. Atlanta taking on Tampa. Who's your daily fantasy plays for tonight, and who's going to win you some money this weekend?